the July 8th Taney County Planning Commission. This is a concept hearing and a public hearing. Anybody who hasn't signed up who would like to speak tonight, you need to sign up on the sign-up sheets here. Mr. Ashley, would you please establish a quorum?
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill. It's not. Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Rick Therese.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Yeah.
Ronnie Melton.
Yeah.
And Mike Schofield.
Yes.
We have established a quorum.
Now, would you please explain the meeting procedures?
Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C. For all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening, a staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site, followed by any questions for staff. As the chairman had indicated, if you wish to comment at the public hearing, a sign-up sheet's been provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. The public hearing shall be closed at the conclusion of public comment this evening. The regular meeting will be held 1 week from tonight's meeting. At that time, the projects will be reviewed and voted upon by the Planning Commission. The regular meeting is a public meeting. However, at that time, no additional public comments will be taken unless expressly requested by the Planning Commission. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay, first on the agenda tonight is the GJ Ranch Arena Campground.
Okay, this is case number 2013.
What are you signing up for?
Did you say if you had somebody got some comments or something, they have to be on the sign up
sheet? What are you speaking on, sir? Which we got three things. We have the JZ.
I want to comment on that daycare.
Okay. Your name is? Close enough.
Okay, the case is case number 2013-10. The project is the GJ Ranch Arena and Campground. The applicant is George Kramer. And basically, this is the location of the site here in the Big Creek Township. The location is 160 through 220 Frank Ray Road, Kizzy Mills, Missouri. Big Creek Township, Section 22, Township 22, Range 18. And the applicant, George Kramer, is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the development of the JG Ranch, which will include an outdoor arena, six RV campsites, primitive tent camping, and a restroom/shower facility for both campers and spectators. The background on this, the proposed JG Ranch Arena and Campground will be located on a portion of the existing 80-acre meets and bounds described tract of land. The Taney County Riding Club has been sponsoring a St. Jude's campout and ride at the site in question for a number of years as a nonprofit fundraising event benefiting the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. According to the assessor's information, two existing residences, two existing barns, and a garage are located on the same parcel of land, but on the other side of, of Frank Ray Road. The current application was approved for concept on June 17th. Again, the proposed GJ Ranch Arena campground will be located on the approximately 80-acre meets and bounds tract. The ranch will consist of approximately a 100 by 200 foot arena, outdoor arena, six RV camping sites, and which will be contained, which will be self-contained, and then also a restroom and shower facilities for both campers and spectators, along with horse riding trails. The facility will be geared primarily toward equine-oriented competitions, shows, and events. However, the applicant has indicated that paid horseback trail riding and camping, both RV and primitive, will be allowed during both during events and also at times when no events are scheduled. And this is just a flyer for the upcoming St. Jude's Camp Out and Ride. In review, since mixed uses are proposed per the provisions of Table J1 of the Development Guidance Code, the on-site parking space requirements will be required to be determined on a proportional basis based upon the proposed uses. The parking areas will have to be designed based upon these specific uses. However, the representatives will have adequate property to ensure adequate parking. The area in question is not served by public or central sewer. Therefore, a septic system will be permitted via the Taney County On-Site Wastewater Permitting Division of the Planning Department in conjunction with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. The septic system will be designed to accommodate the proposed number of patrons and proposed uses that will be accommodated via the shower and restroom facilities. The adjoining property to the north is agricultural and light residential, and basically the adjoining property south, east, and west is primarily agricultural. The project received a total score of negative 10 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 43. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of right-of-way on existing roads, emergency water supplies, and utilities. The staff recommendation on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the On-Site Wastewater Permitting Division of the Planning Department, the Missouri Department of Natural Resources for the well or wells to serve this, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. Third, the applicant shall submit a DNR construction permit for a well to provide service to the JG Ranch Arena and Campground. Fourth, the applicant shall provide proof of liability insurance to the Taney County Planning Department prior to opening day of operation. Fifth, all light sources within the facility shall be arranged so that no direct illumination leaves the site toward adjacent residential areas or any roadways. Sixth, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Seventh, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Eight Division II permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. And nine, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days of the approval shall expire. We've got just a very brief video of the site. And it's essentially primarily the area that's been cleared here that doesn't have trees on it. And we just did a quick 360 of the surrounding area. Thank you.
All right. Pretty little quick synopsis. George, if you'd mind having a seat there, just sit down right there. We're going to let Ms. Nancy Ray. You're signed up. You got to talk.
Oh, yeah. My name is Nancy Ray. Actually, I'm representing Elwell Ranch Cattle Corporation, which owns the land adjacent to the Kramers. And so, as a representative of the corporation, some of our shareholders had a few questions, so I'm speaking on behalf of them. We're exciting on the positive side. We really like the St. Jude's and kind of think that another business in that part of Eastern Tannen County could be a real positive thing if everything works correctly. So one of the questions, but I think somewhat maybe it's been answered, about the environmental impact. That's a major question, and when you have more people in an area as far as affecting the water downstream. And I assume, the commissioner will look into those kinds of things. Do you all get to respond? That's just one of their concerns, okay. Let's see. Just maybe an estimate of how many people annually might be there or how many horses might be. And I know that might be hard to do, but the St. Jude's thing, I think, is can be big, and then maybe the other events may be small, but that was one of the questions. They were interested to know if there were going to be any boarding facilities or training lessons, riding lessons. One of their concerns or questions was, will this impact taxing if it's zoned commercial? Will that affect the tax situation of the land?
For him it would, yes.
Right, but not the agricultural land. Okay. And then I guess one of the major concerns maybe was the road situation. I'm familiar with the area, and some of the shareholders may be familiar with the area too. Is it going to be big enough for horse trailers? Will there need to be road improvements? Is that going to affect, again, the county money situation? But I would guess, in summary, from Elbow Ranch Cattle Corporation, mainly it's the how many people are going to be there, what effect will it have on the environment, and what effect will it have on road and taxes. Right. Okay. And I guess that's kind of all I have, okay. I think.
Do any of the commission members have a question for her?
I don't have any.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, George, you can answer the questions for the lady.
Okay. As far as environmental impact, we're going to deal with the sewer board, sewer district, and do whatever they require. For the benefit of those people that don't know me, I've been in the building business in this area for about 35 years. And, we'll get a soil eval, and whatever we need to do, that's what we'll do. So, whatever's required, and I can't tell you exactly what we're going to build. I would say we're probably going to put in a 1,200-gallon tank, 300-foot of laterals, because based on occupancy, this is pretty much going to be a big house as far as capacity and affluent goes. So, but we'll talk to them, and, whatever they want to do is fine with me. They might even want to, if we're going to have a lot of shower facilities, we're going to deal with a lot of gray water, so we might put in a separate system, So just, we're going to do whatever the county requires and more. Because that's one position I've always had as far as the building, is that codes are minimum standards. And that's great, but, if a 1,000-gallon tank and 200-foot of laterals will do it, and I'm out there with the backhoe and I can get 250 or 300 in, it's cheap insurance. So we'll do whatever's required to make sure that there's no environmental damage. How many people estimated annually? Well, we're going to have 6 sites. I'm hoping for 50% occupancy on those sites, which would be, you figure maybe 2 people per site, husband and wife, something like that. So we got maybe 6 months that we can do this. So I'm figure, if you figure 12 sites, 50%, 6 sites, 2 people, 12 people, 6 months, do some math, yeah. That's where we're at.
72.
That was faster than I can do it, dude. All right. Boarding facilities. I don't know if people show up and want to keep their horses there, and it looks like I could maybe make a dollar. I am a Republican. I'll go on the record with that. Maybe we'll build some. Maybe we'll build some boarding facilities. Road improvements. I don't know what to tell you. It's a sharp corner up there. I go in and out with my stuff all the time, loaders and trucks. And we had some friends over 3 weeks ago, and one of them showed up in a 40-foot motorhome with a 3-horse slant, and he made it. I don't know, Randy, what your position might be on this. We've, you know, there were 100 dump trucks down there last year working on the bridge. I don't know. What do you?
There could be improvements to the road, but it depends on the amount of traffic, how often your events. You've already had St. Jude's down there. They've had big events out there a couple different times. I haven't heard any complaints. I know the road is narrow at the beginning from 160 going in quite a ways. Property owner. I mean, every road could use improvements. So we base that on the need for traffic.
I mean, we're an agricultural society out there, and we've got trucks and stock trailers going through all the time. And being rural people, you always notice strangers, and somebody went by in an extended cab dually the other day with one of them long hay trailers. He had 10 bales on him. That's 40 foot, you know, and I didn't know who he was. But anyway, but we seem to be getting at it okay. Is it a problem? Sure.
Yeah.
It could it be better? Absolutely. But I don't see our traffic situation at this point in time being such that it's a problem.
Well, basically, you see the people are going to come in, spend the weekend, and leave.
Pretty much. That's
pretty
it.
Much. I mean, they're not going to be going in and out like it's a retail business or something.
What brought this on, and I'm not trying to dodge your question, what brought this on is we have this St. Jude event, and we bring out the porta-potties and everything, and we raise money for the hospital, and you're all welcome to attend. And people would come out, and they'd ride the trail, and they'd say, oh, this is great. Can we come out any other time? Well, I don't know. So after next week, I'll know. And we'll build a few little shelters, you know, for the horses and a place to keep your horse and you can pull your camper in. I'm not going to put on-site disposal for the RVs. They'll be self-contained. I've got the shower house, so, you know, they can keep their gray water in their tanks or whatever they want to do. And, you know, they can come by, pull their RV up if they want to go ride trails for, you know, $25 a night for water and power and $5 a head for their horses. Okay. Maybe we can generate some more income for some more infrastructure and have a bigger event. And the arena is pretty much, because we don't have one out there, and there's a lot of arena events that you can hold, you know. And I'm not, you know, this isn't all not for, it's not like we're trying to help the little children in the hospital. Yes, we do. But if I can have the arena out there, we can have some events and make it into something profitable enterprise, then why not? Did that answer? I can't do that. Did that answer all of her questions?
I believe it did. She was more concerned about the road and the environmental impact. And like you said, the county will police that. The sewer district will.
Well, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
I appreciate her being here. But, I mean, if I start letting my sewer lines go over the hill, I'm going to find out. I'm going to hear about it.
It looks like you might have a place, actually, that has some dirt on it.
I tell you what, this, I don't mean to sound glib, but I spent my entire arena budget just making a flat spot in the rock. Before I came in here, I know I can excavate without permits, and I can do dirt and piddle around a little bit, and I wanted to make sure I could get a flat spot at this location. So I did that. And if I'm actually going to have an arena, then I'm going to need to make some money because I'll be hauling dirt for the rest of my life.
Any questions for the gentleman?
I'm good.
Nancy, did your questions get answered with that?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
That might go away.
Go away. Next on the agenda is the Verizon Wireless. Frank, I guess you're the only person signed up.
And this is case number 2013-12. The project is for Verizon Wireless Telecommunications Tower. The applicants are Rodney and Judy Sullins, Sullins RVs, and the representative is Frank Messina with Black and Beach Corporation. And here's the location of the proposed tower. It's proposed to be located at 3271 Ridgedale Road, Oliver Township, Section 20, Township 21, Range 21. The representative is requesting approval of a Division 3 permit in order to allow for the development of a new wireless telecommunications facility consisting of a 300-foot self-supported tower along with a new 12-foot by 30-foot equipment shelter within a 100 by 100 leased area. And this is basically a site plan indicating that leased area, also indicating the leased area within the property in question. The background and site history on this, the proposed telecommunications facility, again, would be a 100 by 100 leased area located upon the 4.4 acre meets and bounds described tract of land, a portion of which is currently utilized as Sullins RVs. According to the assessor's information, the existing 10,000 square foot building utilized for Sullins RVs was constructed in 1992. The current application was approved for concept on June 17th. And again, this is an approximately 4.4 acre site with the 10,000 square foot existing business. This is the approximate location of the 100 by 100 foot leased area. And we've just got a north, south, east and west view of the property in question. In review, the proposed wireless telecommunications facility again will be located on a portion of the 4.4 acre meets and bounds described tract currently containing the existing RV business. The telecommunications facility will consist of a 300 foot tall self-support tower along with a new 12 foot by 30 foot equipment shelter within the 100 foot by 100 foot leased area. And this is a diagram of the 300 foot tall tower. The representative has provided the planning department office with two propagation maps, and this is the one that indicates the current coverage at the site. And the second would indicate the coverage upon completion of the new tower. At the request of the Planning Commission, the representative has also presented an updated site survey, and it basically indicates the location of the tower legs. Essentially, the tower leg is located 88.4 feet from the right-of-way boundary of 65. This other leg would be just over 125 feet from the southern property boundary, and then this leg would be 158 feet from the western property boundary and 419 feet from the northern boundary. Per the Planning Commission's request, the representative has also provided a fall zone letter from Amy Hurst, the senior design engineer with Sabre Industries, in regard to safety factors designed to prevent and or minimize a cell tower structural failure due to unusual circumstances. And we did provide that as a part of the Planning Commission's packet. The existing on-site RV sales business and adjoining off-site mobile home and US 65 would fall within the 300-foot fall distance. Further, the representative has provided correspondence and a map indicating the locations nearest to the location in question. And basically, they show that the two nearest towers, one is approximately 1.6 miles. The other, which is under construction currently, would be about almost 3.4 miles. The adjoining property immediately to the north and south is residential. The adjoining property immediately to the east is, of course, U.S. Highway 65. And the adjoining property immediately to the west is Ridgedale Road, and there's somewhat of a mix of commercial and light residential right through here. The project received a total score of -9 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 13. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of off-site nuisances and use compatibility. The staff recommendation on this is if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, a compliance letter from the Federal Aviation Administration. Third, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Four, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Fifth, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. Number six, should the telecommunications tower no longer be in use for the original purpose granted by the Division 3 permit and serving as an approved co-location site, the tower shall be dismantled and removed at the cost of the owner of the telecommunications tower within 6 months of the cessation of operations. And seven, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. We've got just a really brief video of the site here. And we did a quick 360 right at the roadway, and then here in a second we'll actually walk to the approximate site. And all of these businesses are currently located on that same property, so the RV business is located on the same property as well. As you'll see here in a second, the actual tower site would actually be down in this area. So that. Just to give you an idea in relationship to the existing building. Than the existing residences to the south there.
Frank, to your knowledge, have you ever seen, that's a pretty tall tower, have you ever seen one of these come down in the history of your company?
Not to my knowledge. I can't speak for, because there's thousands and thousands of towers that are throughout the country. These structures are extremely expensive, not just from the structure standpoint, but from all the due diligence that goes into it. So when they design and build these, they build them with the highest standard possible.
Commission, have any questions for Frank?
I have one. Did you try to co-locate on the existing tower real close there?
That existing tower is still too far outside of the area for what Verizon Wireless is trying to achieve there. It's 1.6 miles away. It's only a 200-foot tower. Of the 200 feet, I think only like 175, 180 is available. But even with that said, it's too far out. So even if we were to co-locate there, that's not the objective that we're trying to meet, so we'd still have that big hole in that area.
I just wondered if it had been approached. I figured if you did co-locate on it, you'd come about 5th and Line, and you'd been way down the tower to where you could put your facility on it. So I looked at it the other day.
Oh, did you?
I was down that way. And I just wondered, there is another tower that's not too far from there, but it's small, too. It's not feasible.
Yeah, that area there is the main coverage objective, as to trying to cover all of that highway traffic, all of the side road traffic. So we think we do an exhaustive search. We obviously look at co-location first and foremost, just because it's quite expensive to build these towers. Not to mention the fact that, you know, I'm coming from a different state, flying in. So these costs start to add up. So if we can do a co-location, Verizon or any other cell tower company would like to do a co-location. But for purposes of where it's too far out, it's structurally not sound, or the height's not available, then we have to look at a raw land candidate. And when we go out and look for a raw land candidate, we try to look at to be in the least intrusive or minimally intrusive. So we try to keep it compatible to what that area is. And that's the reason why I chose the RV location. It's a commercial facility. There's quite a bit of commercial there. It's buffered by US 65. So that's what we try to do when we have to approach it from a raw land perspective. And there's also the side benefit, too, is that not only is it providing the commercial benefit to Verizon or other customers, potential Verizon customers, but there's a general public benefit too. Over 50% of all 911 calls are done by cell phones now, and you've got that 65 corridor going up and down, so that's a benefit to the general public if by some chance there's an emergency situation.
Bob, there's some legislation that was passed in the last session. I don't know whether the governor signed the bill or not, but AT&T and Verizon took a lot of our authority away from us as far as conditions concerned on these towers. You're probably familiar with it. There was a pretty good article in the Springfield paper. One of the things that, and I don't suppose it would apply here because I'm sure the bill it wouldn't go in effect until later on this year. But that item 6 up there regarding the money to be put up for removal, as I read that article, that is eliminated by this new law that the state legislature passed. And we couldn't do that. But there's a lot of constraints. Okay. There are a lot of things taken away from our authority as far as these towers are concerned by that law. AT&T and Verizon were the two pushers for that. I don't think it'll apply here because we're ahead of the law coming into effect, but I just mentioned it because it may be something we get faced with a little later on.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, I unfortunately can't speak to that. But as you said, the law has not gone into effect, so we still have to follow the conditionals that's up on the board. And number 6 condition, whatever is required with regards from Taney County, if there's a bond or anything to that effect, Verizon will meet that. So we're going to follow your conditions, obviously.
I just mentioned it mainly for the information here and the fact that we're probably going to have to take a different look at things a little later on.
Yeah, I may have to do some additional research on that.
Yes. Bob, in our development, in our guidance code, isn't there something in there about the fall distance a tower has to have? I know this came up in a couple of them.
Unfortunately, it honestly doesn't speak to cell phone towers. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't.
No, it's been discussed many times, but I don't think we've got anything solid on it.
Yeah.
Well, the engineering is in place that these towers would not go this way.
Correct.
Or that way. They would go this way.
The engineering is in place that the towers, if there is ever a structural failure, and typically if there is a structural failure, it will occur at the weakest point. And the weakest point is typically at the top of the tower. And that point that would structurally, if it failed, would just collapse upon itself. As you move further down the tower, you've got stronger membranes of the tower, plus you're closer to the foundation points too. So that just reinforces everything. So we met and went beyond the setback according to the ordinance, that so we followed that. This is not a precedent, though, in terms of, I think you guys do have another tower. It's a 300-foot tower at Highway 65 and 160. And that tower also, it doesn't fall within the fall zone. So basically, if by some chance it were to fall, that tower also would fall onto Highway 160. But with that said, they're not designed to fall on the access. They're designed to crumple at the weakest point of the member, which is typically at the topmost portion of the tower. That's based on exceeding what the standards are. And I think the fall zone letter that was provided was a 90-mile-an-hour wind loading factor.
I didn't know it was that close. I live across the road from it. I'm fully familiar with that tower. I don't think it's that close to 160, other than to the right-of-way, maybe.
The right-of-way is
kind of strange there, but anyway. Ronnie, what's the highway department? You worked for them for a long time. What's their, did they have any thing in place on that or any kind of
thing? They didn't have a thing when I was there.
Because the highway department seems to don't really get into the thing.
Of course, right in there, they've got, should have 120-foot right-of-way.
But, well, what'd that picture? How far off the...
It's basically, they show it being just over 88 feet from the right-of-way boundary.
Right from the right-of-way.
Right where the right-of-way...
Yeah,
right where the right-of-way point starts, we're 88 feet.
Well, I don't see a problem. I'm just curious about it.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, sir.
And the final case number is case number 2013-13. The project is In His Precious Sight Daycare. The applicants are Rick and Lori Anderson. The representative is Patricia Donmont. And got just an aerial photo showing the general location here. It's located at 291 Curtis Drive in the Swan Township, Section 5, Township 23, Range 20. And this is kind of a closer view of the project, of the property in question. The request, the representative is requesting approval of a special use permit in order to utilize an existing single-family residence as a daycare center for up to 10 unrelated children, along with also serving as living quarters for the representative. Again, the background and site history on this, the representative is seeking Planning Commission approval of the special use permit for the daycare that would provide daycare for up to 10 unrelated children. The representative will be required to obtain a license for the daycare center via the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. According to the assessor's information, the existing 1,969 square foot double wide mobile home was placed on the 1.84 acre parcel of property in 1993. The current application was approved for concept on June 17th. And again, this is just kind of going over some of the same facts here. And we basically have a north, south, east, and west view of the property in question. In review, the representative is proposing to utilize the existing double-wide mobile home as both a daycare facility and also her residence. The representative has indicated that the licensed facility will provide daycare for up to 10 unrelated children. The representative will also have an assistant. Per the provisions of state law, any person who is caring for more than four unrelated children is required to obtain a license. via the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. The Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services has the following staff slash child ratios applying to child care centers. And you can basically see this depending on the age range. Again, the representative wishes for the daycare to cater primarily to children from newborn through the age of five. The representative is proposing to utilize the existing circle driveway, which would provide two accesses off of Curtis Drive. Signage would be placed basically at both the entrance and the exit, indicating which is to be the entrance, which is to be the exit. There's also an existing driveway area, a fairly large driveway area, about 12 by 50, right in front of the garage, as well as the garage itself, which could be utilized to provide off-street parking. The existing parking area will meet the requirements of the parking provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, which require one space for every two employees, plus one additional space for every 10 children served. The proposed business hours will be Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. The representative is proposing to utilize a portion of the backyard as a fenced playground area. The Department of Health and Senior Services requires the provision of 75 square feet of fenced outdoor space per child. And so, of course, with the 10 children, you'd be looking at 750 square feet, but the backyard is much larger than that. The property is currently served by public sewer via the Taney County Regional Sewer District and a private well. The adjoining property immediately to the north is agricultural. The adjoining property immediately to the south is residential. The adjoining property immediately to the east is residential and agricultural. And the adjoining property immediately to the west is a two-family residence. The project received a total score of negative 6 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 39. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, and use compatibility. The staff recommendation on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Central Taney County Fire Protection District, the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, and any other entities which have requirements governing a proposal of this nature shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Third, the appropriate licenses shall be obtained from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services, a copy of which shall be provided to the Taney County Planning Department office. All state licensing requirements shall be met prior to the issuance of a certificate of conformance. Four, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Five, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Number six, in his precious site, daycare has been approved as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit is specific to the applicant slash representative to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. The special use permit shall not be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any other future land use change applications. And seven, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And got just a couple of brief videos. We took one video, the front of the property, and just shot a quick video on the back as well, just to show the backyard area. And here we've just taken a quick 360 view from the front there. Thank you. And we just did a quick, pretty quick shot in the back here. That's all we've got.
That's good. It looks like the lots east and west are vacant. There's no houses on east or west of you, is there? And the back is all wooded.
Actually, to the west there is now.
Oh, there is. That's an old photo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the duplex has been constructed fairly recently.
Any questions, lady? Well, if you'll have a seat there, we'll let Gene, and maybe you can address any concerns he might have.
The concerns I have, I live on the corner there off of Curtis Drive and Y, and the road with the daycare is going to increase the traffic quite a bit there, and the roads are not wide enough for two cars to go by one another without it either going in a ditch or in somebody's yard. And I've had numerous people in my ditches. I've had a telephone broke on a telephone pole broke on a corner, somebody hitting it, and they ran over my concrete culverts and busted them all up. And in the wintertime, it's even worse when you got a lot of ice and stuff. And again, now we have a school bus that runs down that road. And I was just wondering about, you know, the potential of accidents to happen and people's yard getting tore up by people driving where there's not enough room for two vehicles to pass one another.
Yeah,
and Randy knows very well when... I was with him when we put that road in down there with for the sewers.
Where is your lot on there?
I own this lot, and I own three lots right here.
Which one is your residence?
The one on the corner.
Yeah, okay.
This is my house right here, and this is my driveway. I've got a big double wide driveway so I can even get in. I've got another driveway over here that you can't hardly get in unless you get way over here in the ditch to get in. The road's so narrow.
Randy, have you looked at this site?
All these roads in this particular area are pretty much about the same. They're all fairly narrow roadways. Basically, by the road end, if you use improvement and widening.
Yeah, does this indicate a 30-foot easement on this? That's what it looks like.
Part of that, basically, where the closing the daycare. That has a 40-foot that goes on down, but from that point going back to Y Highway, that is a narrower right-of-way for whatever reason. There's a jog in the property lines. You can see if you zoom in to where it says Curtis there on the map. Yeah. There's a little bit of a jog right in there, so the right-of-way is not consistent in that little area.
Yeah, okay.
Whether there's a couple different subdivisions or just how that was done.
If you is there another access other than off of Y Highway?
The road's pretty much consistently the same width. It's fairly narrow. I mean, like you say, two-way cars to pass each other. They can do it, but one's going to get in the grass or close to the ditch. Bigger vehicles,
Don't that road just circle around, come out down there by the sewer?
It is a through road. It does connect into Y Highway down by the dam.
There's the substation. That's where the road is.
The road gets a little wider down on the lower end. This is the narrow point is right there by his house coming in for a little ways is the narrowest point of this section of road there.
The county's been through there with dump trucks and stuff. I have.
The sewer project went through here a year or so ago. They had a lot of construction going on, so it's a lot of work done in that area.
Well, yeah, like I say, there are dump trucks go down through there, garbage trucks, and you just can't get a truck and a car on the road anywhere without either getting to somebody's yard or going in the ditch, one of the two.
Any other questions, gentlemen? Okay, Gene, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, let's see if we have any questions for her.
I agree with him, and the road is narrow.
Well, like Randy says, that's a prevalent in the whole Catania County.
It's all Randy's fault.
my road used to be narrow, and I liked it. any questions for Patricia? Okay, Patricia, we'll vote on this next week.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Bob, do we have any tentative business?
I really don't have anything at this time.
And then I'd entertain the motion to adjourn.
Hey, you're in land. I second that.
Meeting adjourned.